Good morning. Please turn your Bibles with me as we observe a few biblical truths about the Lord's Supper. If you're visiting today, I encourage you to follow along as we read through some passages and make observations. There are several scriptural references that we must take note of. These passages tell us where an idea, a teaching, example, or command comes from. Matthew 26:26-28, Mark 14:17-26, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23-29, Luke chapter 22, verses 14-23, and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16-21 are the main passages. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26, verses 26-28. Matthew chapter 26, verses 26-28. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." In these passages, we see several examples, themes, and instructions that we must apply. The passages from Matthew chapter 26, Mark 14, and Luke 22 all refer to Jesus' final meal with his disciples and the ultimate meaning of the bread and wine. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23-29, Paul repeats and explains the Last Supper tradition and gives instruction about remembering Jesus through the meal and to take communion respectfully and thoughtfully, or in good conduct. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 26-21, Paul explains the spiritual meaning of communion. The cup is the blood of Christ, and the bread is the body of Christ. He explains how we are participating in Christ's body and blood. There is unity among believers, and we should have commitment to Christ alone. So what is the Lord's Supper? Scripture reveals that it is a memorial, a moment where we look back at an important event. A memorial helps us remember, reflect, and show respect. It often teaches future generations why that event matters. As you read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23-26, you can take away that there is someone, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is meant to be remembered and honored and closely followed. What is the event? You can turn to Isaiah 53, or the Gospel accounts of Matthew, chapter 27 and 28, Mark 15 and 16, Luke 23 and 24, and John chapter 19 and 20. But I'd like to read from Philippians. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi. And Paul reminds the church that they can achieve unity through humility and self-sacrifice. He then goes on to tell them about how Christ humbled himself. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. Philippians 2, 3 through 11. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So after reading this passage, we are immediately called for humility. And there is this emphasis on serving others and self-sacrifice. But verses 5 through 11 paint the picture of what Jesus did for us. Being in the form of God, did not cling to his rights or use his equality with God for his own advantage. In simpler words, Jesus was fully divine. He is the image of the invisible God, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He chose humility over self-promotion. He gave up privilege, not his worth, in order to save others. He made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of death on the cross. And next, Christ became highly exalted by God, that he should have the name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee on heaven, in heaven, and on earth, should bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is the memorial which we gather around today. We come together to break bread. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, and in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we see the earliest examples of how Christians worshiped and lived together. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking bread and in prayers. Who should partake of the supper? Well, let's go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." Well, who are the they? Look back to verse 41. The they refers to the new believers who had just accepted Peter's message on the day of Pentecost. It is those who are living in sin, who repented, who were baptized, and who gladly received Peter's words. Not only did they hear Peter's words, but they accepted them. They were baptized, and the Lord added them to his church. And in Acts 20, verse 7, we see that it was the disciples who came together to break bread. Disciples are individuals who follow Jesus. Disciples are believers, those who follow him in daily life. By God's grace and mercy, the same opportunity is available to us. Hearing the word, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, repentance of our sins, baptism, and being added to the Lord's church. When should we partake of the Lord's Supper? Again, in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, we see an approved practice or a certified example of what the early Christians were doing every first day of the week. Again, an approved practice and certified example. This is the primary precedent for the frequency of the Lord's Supper. And combined with Acts 2:42, we see that this is an ongoing devotion, and we see the frequency at which it was done. What's the purpose of the supper? If you're visiting with us, we believe that the purpose and the reason we are gathered together is to remember Jesus Christ, his perfect life, his ultimate love, and his perfect example. As 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 states, "We eat this bread and drink the cup. We proclaim and preach Christ's death till he comes again, which we know he will come." The purpose of the Lord's Supper is to preach the new covenant. This cup is the new covenant. This refers to the promise of salvation and forgiveness through Jesus' death. Christ's death would bring a new or better way for people to connect with God. Matthew 26, verse 28 tells us that Christ's blood was shed for many. Jesus' sacrifice is for all who believe. In Hebrews chapter 9, we see the comparison between the Old and New Covenant. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11, 12, and 14, we see how animal sacrifices were insufficient and how Christ's death fulfills God's will and perfects the sanctified. Through Christ's death, we are redeemed and have a relationship with God. As we take the Lord's Supper and draw near to God, let us be filled with awe and gratitude. Our Creator and our Sustainer, the one true living God, loves us so much that he gave up his only begotten Son for someone like me and for someone like you, that we might believe in him and not perish but have everlasting life.